for today's scripture from Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And then, from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. And I'd like to just start us off with a quick word of prayer before we begin our message today. Heavenly Father, we know that where two or more are gathered, that you are here. You're here today. I pray that you've been working in Jade's heart and in her mind, that she will share with us the word that we need to hear today. We know that you, through you, all things are possible, and we thank you that we are able to hear your word and learn more about you today. Amen.
Hey, most of you know me here, but for those of you who don't, I'm the chair of the church leadership team here, but I've never given a sermon before. And I'm also I'm not used to speaking in front of people. It's something I usually avoid, but I was invited to share a message with you, so I'm going to give it a go. I've got a script to follow so that I don't get lost. So when I was thinking about what to do for this sermon, I thought about what I speak about most as a Christian is loving your neighbor, as I find it really important. It's throughout the whole Bible you can find this message. And so I thought my first sermon really should be on this topic. So firstly, some background to this scripture from the Gospel of Mark. So in Mark 12, Jesus was being asked a number of questions by religious leaders who were trying to catch him out. And you can read the whole chapter later if you want to find out the full context for yourself. That's Mark 12. So because these leaders like to follow rules and rituals, that's why it's mentioned here that the scribe uses in his answer to Jesus, he uses the terms burnt offerings and sacrifices as an example of what was not as important as those commandments. There's nothing wrong with following rules and rituals if this helps you get closer to God. And I know it does for many Christians. We all worship in different ways, and for some people, rules and rituals do help them. But for others, such as the religious leaders in this chapter in Mark's Gospel, the rules and rituals become more important than God. So in this respect, making rules and rituals a priority could prevent you getting closer to God. And Jesus makes it clear that nothing is more important than loving God and loving your neighbor. Although we often speak about Jesus replacing the old law with these new commandments, the greatest commandments are very old laws. As I said before, you can find this message throughout the Bible. The first part about loving the Lord God with all your heart is in Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And we are told to love our neighbor in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So these ancient laws, they were of great importance before Jesus came, and they continue to be of greatest importance today. What does it mean to love the Lord God with all your heart? Now, I'm going to be speaking mostly about loving your neighbor, but this is extremely important too. So I think this means putting nothing before God. God must be the first priority. He must come first in everything. And for me, this is very much tied in with the second part of the commandment, to love our neighbour. I believe that to truly love God with our heart and soul, we must love, respect, and protect everyone and everything that he has created to, even though that may be extremely difficult at times. So who is our neighbour? Are our neighbours just people in our church, or other Christians, people who are like us? Yes, they are, but these are not our only neighbours, although they may be the neighbours who it is easiest for us to love, or maybe not. Because having a belief in Jesus and worshipping God in common doesn't mean we aren't different in other ways, or that we don't fundamentally disagree on some things. Sometimes it can be difficult to get along even with our Christian neighbours, because we have different ideas about how things should be done, and we come from different cultures and backgrounds. Especially in this church, we have people from different nationalities who speak different languages, from different church backgrounds too. But our neighbours are not just Christians, and they're not just people like us, people who we feel comfortable with and people who we agree with. Our neighbours might be very different from us. Your neighbour might be a Muslim, he might be an atheist, in fact he probably is if you live in this country. Your neighbour might be gay, he might be on welfare benefits, or he might be homeless, or he might be drug addicted, or there are many other different types of people in this world. He might be very conservative, or, this one's for me, for those of you who follow British politics, you might not think well of him because he might think a no-deal Brexit is a good idea. But Jesus loves all of these people, and he loves all the other different types of people that there are. He loves every one of us equally. And this passage in the Gospel of Mark, he calls on us to love our neighbour as ourselves. He does not call on us to judge or condemn or to ask whether our neighbour is deserving of that love or not. He simply calls on us to love all our neighbours, exactly as we want to be loved ourselves. And it doesn't matter if they're different to us, if they have beliefs that we don't agree with. They are human just like us, and we all deserve to be loved. I also want to talk a bit about the scripture in Romans that we heard earlier, as here Paul goes into more detail about how we should treat one another. He emphasises Jesus' call to love our neighbour and gives us some examples of who our neighbour is. We are told to live in harmony with one another, to share each other's good times and bad times, and to show hospitality. But this doesn't just mean sharing with our friends and people who we like spending time with. We must also share with people in need and be willing to associate with people of low position. It's the words that are used in Romans. So what does this mean? I think it means that often we may feel that we are better than others and more deserving because we may have a better job than them, or we may be more educated. We may not be committing the sins that we perceive them to be committing. Their sins might be worse than ours. Or we may have had better luck than them. We may look down on minority groups such as immigrants or on people who earn less money than us. Or we may judge people who have a life that we think could be viewed as sinful, such as drug addicts or prostitutes. But again, we have to remember that we are only called to love and not to judge. We don't know these people's stories or why they're in a different position to us. But if we are willing to associate with all people and treat them equally, we may hear their stories and understand that they are loved by Jesus exactly like we are. So what prevents us from loving our neighbour as ourselves? Well, we sometimes talk about the opposite of love being hate, but I think it is fear. I believe that hate and hostility are a result of fear and of being afraid. We may fear that if we give to others, we may not have enough left for ourselves. I felt this myself, so I'm not just speaking I'm speaking about my own experience too. In our society, more value is often placed on money and material things and not on helping others. And we may worry that helping others means less for us. Or we may fear that if we acknowledge and understand that people who are different to us are really just the same as us and loved equally by God, we could end up in their position too. Or God might not provide for us because we think that he is not providing for those people in low positions very well. Or we may, as Paul says in Romans 12, have too much pride or be conceited and think we are better or more deserving. And people might think badly of us if we associate with people who we think of as less than or less deserving. And we're not perfect. I mean, it says on the door out there, imperfect people welcome. So there's nobody perfect in this room or anywhere at all, apart from Jesus. So I get selfish, I get greedy, I get insecure about money, I judge other people. I catch myself thinking badly of others because their views aren't the same as mine. And because we are human, we don't get it right a lot of the time. We can only strive to keep these great commandments and be aware of when we are turning away from God because of our own fears and insecurities. And then when we realize that, we can do our best to be loving to everyone. So I want to speak a bit about my own experience here. Because I think it's important to have a context and not only preach about God's love. I know in the Methodist Church we learn from tradition, reason and experience as well as scripture, so these things are important too. So I've been in a much lower position myself than the one I'm in today, and I want to tell you that God did provide. And people were also there for me, who wanted for me what they would want for themselves. Love, respect, help, and safety, and they were willing to provide these. So some years ago when I was living in Berlin, I became very ill and I was not able to work for this illness for it was at least a year. I was not capable of working. And it was a very difficult situation to begin with because I didn't actually have that much work to start with. And so I didn't have much money, I didn't have savings, I didn't have a stable place to live. And there were a couple of points where I couldn't really afford food too. I remember one person I knew at the time, I didn't know him very well, but we became friends later, and he had a friend working in a bakery. And she used to give him all the old bread and croissants and other bakery goods and things that they couldn't sell anymore. And I'm sure he could have eaten that bread for himself. I'm sure she was giving him it because he needed it too. But for a period of time, he gave it all to me because he knew that I needed it even more than him. I also became homeless once after losing my room in a flat share. And a number of months later, I nearly lost my flat too, and it's only by God's grace that I didn't. But I had a friend willing to give me a place to stay as soon as I was made to leave the first flat, so I was never actually left on the streets. I also had help with things like going to the job centre to claim benefits, going to the doctor. These were all things that I couldn't do myself because I had too much fear at this time, and I was just too tired and too ill. But there were always people to go with me, and I didn't even have to ask them. And these are just a few examples of help that I've had in my life. So in fact, a year or two after this happened, I also started taking people to the job centre to help them get their benefits, to the doctor, to other places to translate for them, and to give them support. So by having people in my life who were willing to help me and love me as they love themselves, and by me trusting and having faith in God's will and God's plan to make sure I was provided for, I was then later able to give that love and help to my neighbours, whoever they may be, as people I didn't know too. I just want to mention here too that it takes a lot of faith to believe that everything is going to be okay and that God is going to take care of you when you're in situations where, for example, you may lose your home or where you can't work, where you have nowhere to get money from. And even more so if you're in these situations and others look down on you and think they are better than you. Or if you are in other situations where people or circumstances seem to be against you. But it's my belief that things will always be okay if you love and trust God. They might not be nice, they might not be pleasant, but it will be okay. And I think this is part of the first commandment, to love your Lord God with all your heart. It's to put your trust in God, have faith in him, and not give in to fear. What may be the hardest aspect of loving your neighbour is mentioned in both Paul in Romans and in the verse in Leviticus. Do not seek revenge. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. We are clearly told here that it is God's job to deal with people who have caused harm. Our job is simply to love. Now, this does not mean letting someone take advantage of you or even keeping them in your life. If they have hurt you, it means not taking action to hurt them back and not bearing anger or hatred towards them. Hate and anger only breed more hurt to ourselves and to those around us. And this is why in Romans, Paul instructs us to overcome evil with good. And maybe we don't literally feed our enemy or give him something to drink. In fact, when we're talking about someone, an enemy who has caused us actual harm, it can even be dangerous to go near them. So I don't think Paul is always calling on us to actually be kind to our enemy, although in some cases he is. If we have hurt them, then we maybe need to make an extra effort to be loving and make things right. But one thing we can always do is pray for those who have caused us harm. And we don't even have to pray for nice things for them, as long as we don't pray for anything negative or try to seek revenge. A prayer that I have used when someone has done something particularly difficult to forgive is, God, give this person what they need. This prayer isn't my own. It was given to me by one of the people who was willing to share God's love with me. And Paul reminds us that it's not up to us to be angry or vengeful. We have to let God deal with those who have wronged us. And perhaps in the end you will be able to forgive them and you will want God to forgive them and to love them just as God forgives and loves you too. So I'm going to bring this to a close soon, but I have some homework for you first. I want you to think about a person or a group of people who you have judged or who you don't agree with. For example, for me, it might be the person who wants the no-deal Brexit. And I'd like you to imagine what it is like to be them. Why do they live like they do? What might their life be like? And how would you feel if you were in their position? Instead of judging, can you love them as if they were you? And the second thing I'd like you to do is to reach out to someone you have had judgmental thoughts about, or someone you don't agree with, or someone who is just very different to you. Ask them how they are doing. Show them that you care about them. Maybe go for a coffee and take interest in them and their views. And let us try to show the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ to those who are different to us and to those who we don't agree with, as well as to those who we do agree with and those who we like. And in doing so, let's show God how much that we love him. So now we're going into a time of prayer. You can pray in English or in your own language, or you can pray in silence. I'm going to start us off. God, please help us to love all people, however different they are to us, and however much we may disagree. Help us to show love especially to those who are in need, who feel sad, lonely, who are oppressed or persecuted or discriminated against, or who are in worse positions than us, even if we don't understand them. Help us to love those who we think are doing wrong or have wronged us, and to see things from their point of view and not to judge. Help us to love our neighbour just as we love ourselves.